Last week, honestly, it was one of my favorite Sundays. I'm a little biased, though, because my brother-in-law led worship, and then he and his wife shared about their son's miraculous story. So I encourage you to hear that if you haven't. But I want to ask you a question that I think is important for what we want to look at today. And it's very, very simple, but I think it's very, very important. Have you ever wondered what is stopping you from receiving a miracle from God? Now, again, this doesn't have to just be for those of you that are actively, you're facing something where you say, God, I need a miracle. This is for all of us. Have you ever wondered what could be stopping you from receiving what you have been seeking God for, these miracles that we look for? I don't know how many of you at some point in your life have had a child in a bathroom with you at some point. Anybody? Okay, I know that's kind of a weird question, but listen, there's something fascinating about kids when they're in the bathroom. Basic hygiene just flies out the window. It's incredible what they forget. I mean, and we've come out of like a COVID era, and it's like worse with them now. When you wash their hands or when they wash, it's an adventure, isn't it? And some of you as adults, it's still an adventure. But for the kids, right? And so, you know, they go to the bathroom and then it's like you're in a public bathroom and they're just like running out the door. And you're like, guys, you got it. Like you're eating quesadilla, right? You need to wash your hands here. And one thing, though, that is a godsend that I don't know, maybe we all take it for granted. I know I have motion sensors, right? You got the towel dispensers and you put your hands under it. And the sensors, because, you know, like the people that did it before you, the old crank ones, they don't always wash their hands. And then you got to get your hands. Any germaphobes? Anybody? It's okay. It's a safe place. Yeah, I see that hand. Hallelujah. the motion sensors are a lifesaver. They save us from those dirty, nasty kids' hands. It's gross. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But since we're talking about it, what a great segue. The concept of detecting motion is an interesting one. Its roots are in astronomy. And in fact, the early farmers used movement of stars to determine when they were going to plant their crops as well as harvest when it was time. In the 1800s, there was a guy, a German physicist. His name was Heinrich Hertz. And that last name's pretty famous because it was named after him. He pioneered the first motion detection system, which was basically a radar. And he did this by discovering how waves could bounce off objects and they had different speeds. And he kind of put it all together in his incredibly smart brain and figured that out. Well, in World War II, radar technology was advanced enough that the military started using it. And they could detect attacks in advance and they could guide aircraft and things like that. And in the early 1950s, maybe you've heard of this guy. If you have, that is impressive. A New York City inventor, his name is Samuel Bagnow, and I'm sure I pronounced that last name wrong, but he created the first motion-detecting burglar alarm. This is the guy who's responsible for, like, your ADT stuff, your Simply Safe, whatever else is out there. He was the one who did that, and he utilized ultrasonic waves basically to detect a thief or fire. And thanks to them, thanks to all of that, germaphobes everywhere can get their paper towels without touching anything. You just put your hands under there, and it comes down, and you're ready to go. You can walk into a room, and the lights just turn on, right? It's thanks to that stuff. You don't need to do anything. All you need to do is move. And I believe that there are some miracles that can really only be activated by our lives with movement. Your miracles, they require movement. And we're going to explain that a little bit today from Scripture. Mark 5 is where we're going to be. You can go there. I'm going to give a little bit of context for it first, though. Mark 5 illuminates this, but it starts at the beginning of Mark's gospel. In Mark 1, it basically shows us how famous Jesus was becoming. And it tells us that Jesus' fame spread because of what he was doing. He was performing miracles. He was doing incredible things, stuff that people had never seen before. And he's becoming, quote unquote, famous because of it. And we even read how Peter's mother-in-law, she's incredibly sick. She has a fever. And this is no joke. Her life is on the line. Jesus heals her. And it's this powerful moment. And we read in Mark 1, 32 through 34, it tells us that evening after sunset, and this is after he's performed this miracle on Peter's mother-in-law, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons. The point is, he was doing wild, miraculous stuff. Now, Jesus had been teaching. When we come up to Mark 5, he'd been teaching for a while. You can read about it. He'd been performing miracles. He'd been saving people, calming storms, healing injured hands, cleansing leper, healing a paralyzed man. And he's getting a lot of attention because of not just the things he's teaching, not just what he's saying, but because of what he's doing. He's performing miracles, and it's grabbing the attention of the public. And we read in Mark 5, and this is going to be the miracle that we pay attention to today that frames this message. It tells us, starting in verse 24, that a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And so when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, this is one of the most famous of miracles that we read in the Bible relating to Jesus. This woman was in need of a profound miracle. And she had heard about Jesus. She knew of him, and she had also heard that he was in her city. He was relatively close. And so she didn't just passively think. It's interesting, you read this. She wasn't just passively thinking, well, if I'm going to get healed, hopefully Jesus will pass down the street where I'm at. Or hopefully Jesus will come by when it's close enough and I can go find him. Like, I guess I'll wait and see. You don't see that, do you? When you read her story, she is moved to Jesus. She presses through the crowd, which we're gonna unpack that, the ramifications potentially of what she was doing. She pressed through the crowd to just touch his robe. Now listen, I think before we go any further, there is something we need to understand regarding the accessibility of God, because you might read this and you might hear what I'm saying and think, whoa, wait, we have to push to God? We got to, like, doesn't he come, like, isn't he everywhere? So let me just explain something about the accessibility of God. I mean, John 10 tells us, very truly I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Right? He's a protector. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in Revelation, we read, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Right? He's present. He's not hard to find. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He wants relationship with us, right? And he doesn't make it difficult. I mean, when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The veil was torn, right? So a pathway was made available for you and I to find salvation through him, ultimately to have access to him. And so Jesus, he's always accessible. And he's always, if you're ever like, where is he? I don't feel him. I don't see him. It's not all about feelings and it's not all about seeing. It's just also about truth. He is with you. He's always present. He's always listening and he's always working. But sometimes there are miracles that only happen because you move. Sometimes it takes you getting into the game a little bit. Sometimes miracles only happen because you press your way to Jesus. Now, this next phrase sounds a little cheesy, but I like it. Okay, so just bear with me. Okay, there is always a blessing in the pressing. Huh? Come on. I mean, the Shekinah glory is right here now with that. I mean, take that home, shout it out when you're kneading some bread one of these days. Like, there's always blessing in the pressing, you know? And then give me some of that bread because I like it. Your miracle is on the other side of your movement. I believe that. Somebody say amen. Come on. Now listen, it's no secret. This is not a secret. The devil is going to do whatever he can to keep you from what God has for you. I mean, he will do whatever he can within the authority that God has allowed him to do these things, right? He's going to do whatever he can to keep you from pressing into God. He will lie to you. He will toy with your emotions. He'll remind you of your failures, and he'll do that all the time. And that's what he does. That's what he's good at. That's really one of his greatest weapons against us. Knowing that, no matter what comes your way, here's the thing, you have to continue to press into Jesus. If you know that the enemy is always going to be coming at you, you need to push in a little harder to Jesus, right? To continue moving towards Jesus. And I know that there's seasons and times in our lives where it feels like God is really, really close and it doesn't really take much to get close to him. But I also know there's times when it feels like he's either really, really far or it's just kind of that in between. So we got to press in. Why? Because there's blessing in the pressing. Come on, make a t-shirt. Let's do it. If you're new to the church, we'd like to give you a blessing to the in the pressing mug after service. Maybe it'll be like a capital campaign thing. I don't know. But let me mention this also. And we talked about this last week. When it comes to miracles, what we're not talking about is we're not talking about saying, God, I need more money in my bank account because I want to buy this or I need to buy this. All right, this isn't us saying, like, God, I really need this promotion. This isn't the kind of miracles where it's like, God, listen, my life's been hard. Help us go on this dream vacation, right? I mean, it's not even like, Lord, would you point me to the right person that I can marry the right person, the person of my dreams? This is definitely not us saying, God, I did a terrible job studying, so help me to pass this exam, right? That's not how these aren't these kinds of prayers. None of what you're seeing from Jesus, and I want this to be understood, none of what Jesus was performing had to do with the prosperity or our lack of responsibility. Okay, it didn't have to do with that stuff. He wasn't like helping somebody get better so that they could become rich. He wasn't helping somebody get better so they could have things. He wasn't helping them get better so they could be famous. Nothing like that. So when I'm talking about blessing, because I know that when we talk about blessing, sometimes it's framed in a certain way. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel garbage or anything like that. I'm talking about the greatest desires of our souls that only Jesus can give. And if you've ever found yourself pressing into God, pushing forward for him to move in profound ways, I think you've probably encountered a few things that we're going to talk about today. And maybe for others, maybe for all of us, there's something we can learn from God's teaching regarding this. So I'm going to give you four things. You can write them down in your notes if you'd like to. Four things that we need to press past. Number one is this, press past the pain. Press past the pain. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. That's a long time. My oldest is 11, and there's times when it feels like he was just like born, and then there's other times where it's like, oh my goodness, this feels like a lifetime. Right? That's a long time. And the Bible tells us right here that it only grew worse over time. It wasn't getting better. It was only getting worse. The pain increased. And if you know anything about pain, you know that pain, strong pain, it's no joke. I mean, here's the thing about pain. It doesn't respect you or care about your social status. It doesn't care about your economic status. It doesn't care what your skin color is or your country or your career or your heritage. It doesn't care what neighborhood you live in. Pain is pain. It hits everyone. And when it does, man, it hurts, doesn't it? It can stop you in your tracks. And I'm not just talking about physical pain. It stops you in your tracks and it can paralyze you from pressing forward. And many of us have known that be true. Many of us, some of us here are facing this right now. Maybe you're facing, or you know somebody who's facing physical pain. Living with a disease or a sickness or a chronic pain. Right? Maybe you got a family member that's sick and is struggling and you see that and it's real. Could be emotional pain. You're grieving a loss or worry and anxiety and depression. Maybe it's relational pain. Maybe your marriage has been better. There's challenges there. It could be trouble with your kids and they're growing up. And you're like, man, I don't know what to do anymore. tension with a coworker. Maybe you have a strain with a friend. I think all of us have probably experienced financial pain. The bills are tight. And you swear, like, where did all these bills come from? And you can't retire. You got debt that's growing. You're stressed over money. And the thing about pain is that it can either paralyze you or it can propel you forward. Now, this woman, she faced so much pain for years and years and years. But it didn't stop her, did it? It propelled her forward to Jesus. And here's what I want you to know today. Pain didn't stop her because the answer is always Jesus. No matter the pain that is in your life, no matter what you have faced, are facing, or will face, the answer is always Jesus. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that we need help beyond just us praying or having others pray for us. But it's always Jesus. It's pressing into Jesus so we seek out the help that we need for the pain. It's pressing into Jesus and worshiping him in the midst of it, which is one of the hardest things to do as a believer. It's pressing into Jesus even when it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. It's still pressing in. The answer is always Jesus. Look at the person next to you. Don't say anything. Now look it back at me, okay? Just wanted to. It's always Jesus. Second thing is this. We got to press past the disappointment. The scripture tells us that this woman saw doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. She sought out help and it didn't work. Nothing. Nothing was happening. It points to this also, but modern terms would be this. The medical bills are piling up and they're piling up and they're piling up and you're not getting answers. She spent all her money trying to get help, trying to get answers, trying to get a cure, trying to get some sort of remedy, and it was only getting worse. Now, you want to talk about extreme disappointment? No one can help her. No one. She's broke, and her health is getting worse. This is a recipe for hopelessness, isn't it? It's a recipe to just be like, I can't do this. I'm giving up. I quit. I'm done fighting. Nothing's happening. And again, the enemy's going to try to lean into that, isn't he? He's going to try to get you to believe that yeah, you should give up. Yeah, you've suffered. Poor you, all that stuff, right? Maybe you've encountered this. Again, these are things that I think we can all relate to at some point. Maybe disappointment has creeped up in relationships in your family. Maybe you've watched your kids struggle or a family member struggle and you've just been like, man, why? Why are you doing this? And it's broke your heart. Damaged relationships. Maybe you feel like I've worked so hard at my job and I just can't ever get ahead. All right, you look back over your life and you see how it's all played out and you just think to yourself, like, how did I get to this place? I had all these dreams and plans and here I am. Maybe as the school year is approaching and you're worried about academics and maybe you had a disappointment. I don't know. Maybe you're even just disappointed because your prayers just have not seemed to be answered. And you hear this Sunday after Sunday and you read it in your Bible and you're just like, man, it's not happening. What's going on? I just want to read you what Psalm 27:13 says. This is what David wrote. He said, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David is writing this in the midst of danger, uncertainty, fear, right? He's been anointed the future king of Israel, and yet the current king is hunting him down with the full might of the army. This is not a good situation, and yet what does David say? He says, I remain confident of this. I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's confident that God's goodness will show itself. And he continued to press into God even when things looked bleaker than bleak and lower than low. You got to press past the disappointment. The third one is this, and I think this is very important. You've got to press past religion. Press past religion. Now, we might read this story of this woman and see this as a bad health issue that needed to be resolved, which it was on one hand, but it went much deeper than that for her. Now, Jewish law would have considered her to be ceremonially unclean. Now, if you're wondering, like, well, what are the full ramifications of that? On the surface, one of the most obvious things was she couldn't worship in the temple, so she wasn't allowed to go there. She could never join her friends or her family in everyday activities. She was basically told, you need to isolate yourself until you're no longer unclean. Anyone who touched her would be considered unclean. Anything she sat on would be considered unclean. Anything that she touched, unclean. She would have been unable to go to the priest to offer her sacrifices, and she would have lived with this perpetual weight of being unclean and unworthy for 12 long years. That is awful. So just understand what's happening here. Whatever she touches will be unclean. What did we read? She went into a crowd. Do you think that crowd just like parted out of the way so that she could get to Jesus? No. She's fully aware of her actions. Why? Because this has been going on for 12 years. This is Jewish law. She knows if I go into this crowd, I'm going to be bumping into people. The law would say you're not allowed to press your way through. You're not allowed to get close to Jesus. You're unclean. But she pressed through the religious laws in order to get to him. Here's what I know about religion. Okay, and you need to hear this. And you need to understand what I'm saying. Religion will keep you away from Jesus. It will. See, religion tells you you are too messed up to go to church. Religion tells you, man, you shouldn't be praying to God. Do you know what you've done in your life? Religion says you can't worship him. You're a mess. Religion makes you feel nasty. It makes you feel unclean. It makes you feel too unworthy and too broken to approach our Savior. It makes you feel like your sin is so bad. And oh, by the way, you're the only one that sinned like that. Isolates you. That you need to stay away from Jesus. But like this woman that we read about, this courageous woman, we can't allow religion to keep us away from our Savior. See, religion says, hey, first go get your life together, clean up, pray for a week, and then you can come to church. Jesus says, come all who are weary. Right? He says, come everyone that's broken. I'm here. Let's make this happen. That's my translation a little bit there. He said, I didn't come for the healthy. I'm not afraid of your mess. I'm not afraid of your issues. So don't let your mess keep you from pressing towards Jesus. Listen, here's the thing that I think we all just need to be reminded of, and it's probably not something that we think of. The reality is that you can't get a miracle unless you first have a mess. Right? Okay? Your mess simply means that you are now a candidate for a miracle. Congratulations. Right? Jesus will turn your mess into a message. Remember that. The last one is this, maybe my favorite. Then don't read into this. Please don't. Okay? The last one is this. Press past the people. Okay, I'm not trying to press past any of you. Don't worry about it. But think again about this woman. She's been known in this community for 12 years. It's not like people didn't know who she was. I mean, if you live in a community where you have somebody who's been dealing with this for 12 years and it's as big of a deal as it is, people know who she is. She now is basically just known as the bleeding woman. She's known to be unclean. She's known like you don't associate with her. And there's no way that she's in front of that crowd and people don't recognize her. I know that the Bible doesn't say that, but come on, we know that. People knew who she was. But she doesn't let that stop her. She presses past the people to get to Jesus. For you and I, it's pressing past negative influences that may exist. That are just, it's the voices that exist that you got to get past them to get to Jesus. It's surrounding yourself with people who are going to point you to Christ rather than pull you away from him. Right? It's understanding kind of the balance, the tension between surrounding ourselves with the right people, but still fulfilling the mission of God and fulfilling the great commissioning and doing all that. Right? I mean, like I mentioned, fall is right around the corner. I mean, next week you're going to see pumpkin spice everywhere. We're going to have pumpkin spice lattes for you next Sunday here on church. That's not true, but you should come find out anyways. Groups are starting. They're restarting soon, right? Like, get around the right people. Let's get around the right people. You got to press past the doubters that may exist in your life. Those that, and when I say doubters, what are we talking about? It's those that doubt that God actually wants to do good things in your life. Right? It's those people that, they just ultimately doubt Jesus can do this. Right? It's the people that are saying things like, why are you still serving? Why are you doing this? And they may not explicitly say that, but you know what I'm talking about. Right? It's, why are you still worshiping? What are you doing with your life? Like, why are you still tithing? Why are you still praying? Nothing's happening. Right? What, but remember, there's blessing in the... Good job. Way to go. 15 of you. All right. It's pressing past the haters. And these are the kind of people that they just flat out don't want you to get a miracle for one reason or another. They're not trying to help you. They'd rather see you hurt. But above all, I think the most important person that we oftentimes have to press past is ourselves. It's us. See, when you're waiting for a miracle, don't get weary. Don't grow tired. Don't get to that place where you're wondering, like, I don't think this is going to happen. Where we're saying, I don't think this is worth it anymore. And maybe you can relate to this woman that we're reading about, because you've waited years and you've waited years and you've waited years. And it's only got worse. And you find yourself saying that. What's the point? Press past these things. Lean into Jesus. Move towards him. I'm going to invite the team up. And I want to finish with this thought. Galatians 6:9 is one of the greatest scriptures that you can read in the New Testament. This is part of Paul's instructions to the early church. And he said, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we don't give up, don't stop praying. Don't stop being part of the church. Don't stop serving. Don't stop giving. Don't stop worshiping. Why? Not because, like, I want you to just keep going. The reason why is because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. But you can't give up. Don't give up. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, keep pressing through the pain, the disappointment, the religious pressure, and the wrong people. Because your miracle very well might be on the other side of your movement. If you just stand, if you bow your heads with me. Lord, this morning, my prayer is that we would be encouraged in seeing the way in which you still are working. I pray that even in the midst of the challenges that we might be facing, we would this morning, that this message, this truth from your word would build us back up. That it's not anything that I said, but it's what your spirit is doing that would strengthen us. Lord, if there are those that are here today that are leaning into these things and they're finding it hard, I pray that they would feel compelled to be close to you during this time. Lord, help us to press. And Jesus, maybe more than ever, help us to just kind of get out of our own way and allow you to work. Lord, we want to see the miraculous done, and we know that it doesn't always happen the way we want or when we want, but we believe that you are still doing these things. So we just want to lean into that during this final song. God, if we need to come to the altar, if we need to pray at our seat, if we need to go to somebody, let's not waste that opportunity. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are here right now. And you have been here this whole time. And you want to continue to speak to us during this time. We thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.